Previously on Adventure.
And there's something written in Dwarvish. Follow the path of light. So, and as Kelsey melts away, all that's left is a little coin. The coin begins to vibrate more and more, and the three pillars shine more and more until seemingly out of nowhere, a light appears kind of floating in the air in the shape of a lantern. Looking at the book, you can see the name. It's called Scrying the Beta Plane. On the cover, giant stone and metal towers right on the edge of water. And in that water, there is a big green statue of a woman. A dwarf named Gundren Rockseeker asks you to bring a wagon load of provisions to the rough and tumble settlement of Phandalin and then set out ahead of you on horse. As you come around a bend, you spot two dead horses sprawled about 50 feet ahead of you, blocking the path. But at the same moment, you hear a giant booming explosion back towards Neverwinter.
What was that? Nobody curious?
Guess, sorry.
Oh, Julian. I suggest we need to check these goblins. I mean, we need to know who sent them. They might have something we can use.
Empty map cases? We got stuff here.
So you guys are going to go check the goblins out? Who's gonna go check out the goblins?
I'll investigate.
All right.
Let's see where we're at.
Okay.
So you're going to go investigate.
Yeah.
So you go up, and you sort of pat their pockets, and you find they have a little sack of coins in his pocket. Jingle it around. It seems like there's a fairly good amount of money in there.
This already.
I'd say probably, you can probably guess just by jingling around, maybe 30 gold pieces. Usual sound of gold jingling, but a little bit off, like not necessarily the exact sound you usually hear when you shake a change purse.
Okay.
Around. So you find that on one goblin. On the other goblins, you really find anything. They're kind of cleaned out. Find a couple of stray arrows, but they're kind of shitty and broken. One of them has the picture of his family in his back pocket.
I feel badly for him, I gotta say.
His goblin wife.
Is he the one that's squished on the floor?
Yes, yeah. The one that has no
head Julian
left.
So Julian is like basically like going through gore, trying to find stuff.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
On the third goblin, you find just one single coin. But that one single coin has three flaming pillars on the back of it.
Oh,
I think we gotta check the three pillars out. What do I?
Yes,
it's burning pretty bright right now too. Like it's.
How have you guys seen this?
None of your business.
It was a long time ago. Not really. But
hey!
Okay.
Knock it off. Too much information.
As you see the three things start to lighting up, you hear some sounds from the woods.
Uh-oh. Julian, are you prepared?
Oh, yeah. I've had a rest. I've had a good rest.
Henley?
Whatever.
Could you go throw yourself on the floor in case there's anything out there?
I don't know what you mean, but I might.
He's the Sir Walter Raleigh of rogues. He will lay himself down so we can step across.
Do you wanna check it out?
Let's check out those flaming pillars.
I want my share.
You'll have your share by the time this is over.
Well, that sounds like they're going to kill you. I don't know. I don't know. What you think? do you want to make a stealth check and try to see what's going on, Bri?
Absolutely, I do.
Was that a good idea last time?
He's very good at stealth.
I got stealth.
Julian, do you trust him?
No, but I still throw him out there. It's much better than us.
So I've got a plus two there, so D20 plus two?
Roll a D20 and add two.
Go for it.
15.
All right, so you sneak up to the side of the bushes that were sort of parted where the goblins came out of before, and what you see, Henley, is you see a fourth goblin making tail straight back down into the woods behind where you were waylaid. And from your position, you can see that the bushes down in the behind the road are very, very matted down. This looks like a place that probably goblins have been sort of waylaying strangers for a very, very long time. But this goblin is making tail.
How far away is he?
He's pretty far. He's like 60, 70 feet now.
We're not going to catch him, and it looks like he might be going for reinforcements.
He is running back, and what you see, Henley, what you can see is it's about 20, 30 feet away, very faint, a little light hanging in the air that he obviously, it's straight down the path that he has run down.
A light that's just floating?
Yeah, like a magic light floating in the air.
Bollocks. I got good news and I got bad news. The bad news, I saw another goblin. It's all the way out there. Might be running to get its mates. I also saw a light just hovering in the distance. Closer to us, though. I want to go check it out. I want to make sure we don't let him go.
Is that a good idea?
Letting him go, I don't think
it's
a good
idea. Listen, I'm always good for smashing some heads, but I don't want to bite off more than we can chew. I don't want to chase one goblin and run into 50.
Well, yeah, could it be an ambush?
Henley?
We got any long range weapons?
Not at the distance he's at. I'm good for about 60 feet's worth, but we're in a problem here unless you can...
We'll get on your boots. Better get out there.
Do we chase this goblin down?
I want to. Oh, and the good news, I'll save 15% on my car insurance by switching to Geico.
I hope whoever it was that was driving that cart with the dead horses did the same. All right, I'm with Julian. I can smash some heads. I can look after myself.
Hold on. I'm happy we're on the same page. I am.
We got you. We got your back on this.
He's getting away.
Are we able to split up as a group?
I would recommend not splitting up.
Right, okay.
You guys almost died, all three of you together.
Exactly.
I don't think any of you on your own is going to be...
Listen, we need those provisions. We just heard a huge explosion. And if we lose all these provisions, that's going to really screw us up. I say we need to be smart about this. And Henley, I know that doesn't come naturally, but just listen to me and Julian, okay? So let's check out that map case.
I've got some investigation stuff. I'm in a good place with it.
Okay, investigate that map case.
Yeah. You're going to need to roll an investigation check for this one.
Which is?
D20. When I say a check, it's always going to be a D20.
Okay.
Which is the one with all of the sides. Yes, there you go.
8.
Plus 3.
Okay, you pick up the map case, and it's nice. It's leather-bound. It's worn, but it's obviously a very nicely made piece of, I don't know what to call it, a piece of...
It's leatherette.
Ephemera, I guess. Inside it is empty. There's no map.
Okay.
But there is a scrap of paper. A little scrap of paper looks like it was torn off. And again, you see the same three-pillared symbol.
On the scrap?
On the scrap of paper.
But we don't know what this scrap was torn from.
We don't know.
Okay.
I'm happy with that.
Is there any virtue of me rolling an investigation check? Maybe more?
They're very well...
I'd say we have to investigate the cart.
I'll say one thing about the cart. You can always hide the cart if you guys want to go explore something. I'm not telling you have to go down that trail, but I'm saying, like, you know, just... this is more so you guys get used to the idea of all of your actions might have consequences.
Okay.
So, I mean...
If there's no, like, limit to what we can carry, I say let's just strip the cart.
You can't carry everything that's in the cart on your backs. So that's not gonna work. There is a very nice hiding place on the side of the road where these goblins have been hiding.
How far from Neverwinter are we?
You're like 3 weeks from Neverwinter.
Then hiding it in the bushes 3 weeks from where we're going.
No, but if you check the maps, then I think if we chase after this goblin, we're going to have to come back past our hiding place anyway, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we can hide it, chase this goblin, come back for the provisions when we're finished.
Since we got nothing from the map case,
right,
that could be a good idea, Thrace.
Right. Should we... Henley, could you go drag all that stuff into the bushes, please?
All right. I want to check out these saddlebags first, though.
Okay. Oh. Investigate the saddlebags that are empty.
11.
They're even more empty now.
They are most definitely empty.
you check them out. They're mostly empty. There's a little bit of beef jerky in the bottom.
Some lint.
Of one of them. An empty flagon of ale in the bottom of one of them as well.
And a scrunchie.
and a scrunchie. A dwarf scrunchie. He's got to keep that beard. Sometimes it gets really hot. You got to keep that beard, you know, up and
accurate. Absolutely.
Might want to get a vault deposit back.
Do you want to take the jerky, Brian?
Absolutely, I do.
So, Hendley, what was in the saddlebags?
Nothing.
Nothing.
Hendley?
Nothing, honey.
Nothing.
There was nothing in the saddlebags?
Oh, all right. Here's... Can I
roll an investigation check on Hendley? Because I have a feeling he might not be telling the absolute truth about what he found.
Not an investigation. You could roll a perception.
Perception, okay.
But actually, this is a contest. So this is a new rule we're going to learn right now.
Okay.
Because you're challenging directly another character's ability to do something.
Okay.
So
I would do that.
Henley will roll a...
Deception check, right?
Deception check against your perception check.
Okay.
So both roll a d20 and add your modifiers. I don't think you're very good perception,
my
Jackie.
My perception.
I've got plus four.
I think you have minus one.
Deception. Minus one.
Jackie has minus one.
All right.
Here we go.
8.
So 7?
I got 7.
16 for me.
Okay. Yeah, you buy it.
Yeah.
Nothing.
Of course.
Oh, that's a shame. I really could have done with something to eat at least.
But you don't know that.
What do you mean I don't know that?
You don't know that I'm hiding the jerky.
But she said she's just hungry.
Yeah, I wish there was something in the saddlebags. Mm-hmm.
I have a plus two. Should I take a roll at this?
No. I don't think we need to waste any more time on the jerky in Henley's pocket.
I don't know.
Henley can keep his jerky in his pocket.
I wish he would, huh?
So you guys have hidden the cart and the oxen, tied the oxen off out of sight of the trail.
Yep.
And Henley has hidden his jerky.
Henley's hidden his jerky in his belly. And
let's hope.
He's going to, so you guys are going to now follow the trail, chase after the goblin?
Yes. Okay. I think we are, yes.
All right. So let me ask you, how are you guys going to march through the woods? When you get in the woods, you see that there is a trail.
Okay.
It's really only one person wide. Okay. So you kind of have to walk one in front of the other.
I'd say Julian, I hate to do this, but I think you should go first because I think you can perceive any dangers that might be coming our way before we can.
I have higher perception. You have more power, but I think me first does work better.
And then...
Might see the danger. You can protect me if I... And then we can throw Hendley into the mix.
Well, I mean, that's the thing. There is also that we could do the cannon fodder, but we're going to need three of us eventually. We should really make some effort to keep him alive despite his best efforts.
So fucked up.
Are you guys just going to...
Get on down the road.
Ease on down the road. I think
we need to have Bob to check to see if there's anything obviously dangerous right ahead of us first.
Okay. A perception check. You're going to roll a d20 always, and a perception modifier, which I think is what? We have 2?
17.
So nothing immediately dangerous in front of you. You don't see anything right now. And what I'm going to let you do is I don't think it's interesting for you guys to keep rolling these things as you walk down this trail. So that's I'm going to assume it as you're sort of looking for danger as you go. All right. So you guys head off down the trail and you're walking down the trail. And as you walk down the trail, that light that Henley saw floating in the air, which is right directly about 40 feet in front of you, gets brighter and brighter and brighter.
And turns into Donald Trump.
And when you get to it, that joke doesn't even make any sense. When you get to it, you see then another 30 feet away, another light, appears.
There might be checkpoints.
Does this not seem a little like breadcrumbs to you guys?
Is it wise to follow the trail of breadcrumbs? I'm concerned we're being... tagged along, so to speak.
Mm-hmm. Hendley, how do you feel about this? Have you seen anything like this before?
I can't say I have, but I'm with Julian.
I'm thinking this is a stealth moment. Can we bring Hendley around to the side? Is there coverage in the woods?
What are you trying to stealth?
Right. Are you trying to get me to circumvent the...
The light. Come behind the light and see what's causing it.
Well, I have a feeling you're probably just going to have another light. Well, have we reached the actual light?
Yes, you're at the first light now. It's right above your head.
Can we look at it in a better way? Is there a way of looking closer at it, or is it just a light?
It's just a light. It's like a floating light. Okay. It almost looks like a floating lantern in the...
Does anybody see that goblin around?
I can do a investigation to maybe see if I can see him still. I think we're going to be fine. Look at your screen. It's a 22.
Henley, you can't see him, but you can hear... footsteps still far out. and it seems like...
Still one set of footsteps?
One set of footsteps running.
It's like that Jesus poster on the beach.
It's just like the footsteps poem, Bob.
Doesn't exist in this world.
You hear footsteps, and then you hear, ah! And then no more footsteps.
Oh, dear.
Oh, guys, did you hear that?
Yeah. Henley, I'm worried that we're going to go the same way as that goblin.
He might have some gold on him, though.
Gold is not worth dying for, Henley. Glory is the only thing worth dying for, Henley.
She was a very sweetheart.
She was lovely.
Are you guys going to investigate what happened to...
I think we need to. Can we stealth Henley up there? I'm worried. I don't want Henley just stumbling into the same trap.
It's about he's about 100 feet up, so...
Okay.
I'm okay with this. That's fine. We'll do this. My fear, though, is that here's the running tally of my last four D20s. 15... 11, 16, 22. I'm due for...
No, it doesn't work
it
like
that. It doesn't. Every roll is. Yeah,
whatever happened to the goblin happened to him about 100 feet in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
So I will say that because Bob has his perception going right now.
Yes.
And by the way, what is each of your passive perception scores? Jackie, I know yours is horrible.
Minus one, yeah.
So yours is 9.
12.
We got 12 for Julian, 9 for Thrace. And Brian, what's yours?
So that would be a 9.
And you have minus 1 in perception?
Absolutely, I do.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Me too, yeah.
Boy, we have a very perceptive group here.
Yeah, we did not stack that deck.
So with the roll that Julian had earlier, plus his passive perception, you guys are going to see anything
coming
a little bit far down the road. So you can at least go up a little bit before you have to worry about it.
Yeah, and our next, again, I'm calling them checkpoints. This floating light is 30 feet out.
30 feet out.
Oh, okay. So let's go to the next light.
I'm within range of doing stuff.
Exactly.
Just in case.
So let's move on to the next light, guys.
All right.
So same thing as before. You get near the next light. It burns very brightly. And then 30 feet farther down, another light begins to illuminate.
Okay. So I think maybe we can make to the next one. Right?
I
mean, then we're 40 feet out. And Julian, I think you can cover a
I'm
lot of stuff
60
for 40
feet. So
right.
We're good
so let's,
to go here.
Let's move on to this next
safety
light.
Area, yes.
Yeah. By the way, I love that the wizard in fiction knows that his range is 60 feet.
He's measured it.
I've had experience.
Yeah, it's good. I like that, though.
He got a tape measure out, and he checked.
That spell wasn't really working. Let's back you up.
I missed a few times in a previous adventure.
Yes.
You'll hear about
on
that
on a football
thrace.
Field. So you walk up to the next light, and the same thing happens. Burns bright. I go, and you can see the other light starting to fade up in 30 feet away. But between that light and where you're standing, you can see something very small. It looks like it's kind of hovering in the air. And it looks like there's some sort of rope or something going up from the thing hanging in the air up into the tree cover above.
Oh, guys, we need to check out what this is.
It might be dangerous.
Who wants to investigate?
I think you should.
Oh, well, that's nice of you guys. As soon as it gets a little scary, you send in the girl with the Warhammer.
The Warhammer conquers all, Thrace.
All right, so I can investigate.
You can. Yeah, yeah. So do you want to look from where you're standing, or do you want to walk up to what's hanging there? What do you want to do?
I've got your back.
At this point, I think I would like to check from where I am, because Julian can back me up from here.
All right. I mean, so roll an investigation check, and I guess it's your intelligence modifier.
16 plus 1. 17.
So from what you can see from here, you can make out, it's still kind of, it's still 40 feet away from mm-hmm. you. So it's not totally clear, but what you can see, you squint your eyes, and what you can see is what looks like a goblin hanging upside down from some sort of rope or string or
guys,
wire or something.
Someone has snared this goblin. Now, the interesting thing with that is we don't have to worry about the goblin. However, we need to worry about whatever snared it.
Can we investigate that?
I'm worried about traps running. Is he alive? Is he dead? Do we know? I don't know if he's alive or dead.
I don't really care if he's hanging upside down in
and
a tree.
And if it's a snare, I don't think whoever set that snare is going to be back right this minute. I think we could probably get closer and go look.
Yes, move along and look.
Yeah. Do you guys want to go in closer, or you want me to go first?
Can't want to play Goblin Pinata, but okay.
Is that part of the... Can we do that?
You can do anything you want.
Henley Goblin Pinata. I think we need to do that.
I think I'd like to investigate up close.
But Goblin Pinata could be a hell of a lot of fun.
If I investigate and the goblin is still alive, you can come play pinata, Henley.
That's lovely. I like that.
Okay.
I like that.
All in.
All right. So I think I would like to get up close and investigate.
All right. So Julian and Henley are going to hang back, and yes. Thrace is going to walk up.
Yes.
Okay. So Thrace, you walk up. As you get closer, you can see the goblin is still struggling. It's definitely still alive. But as you get closer, because you're not really good at perceiving your surroundings, a snare catches on your foot.
Oh, no.
And you have to make a dexterity saving throw.
Uh-oh.
So it means you roll a d20 and add your dexterity modifier.
Yeah.
Two.
Okay, so the snare catches you. And you fly up into the air. You're so heavy that it's not meant to capture dragonborns. It's meant to capture halflings and travelers. Probably a goblin made trap. This guy was probably hoisted on his own petard because he was so scared of you guys chasing him down. Okay. But it breaks and you fall down, but you are going to take 1d6 bludgeoning damage.
Ooh.
Okay.
No.
Oh no, what is it?
Six.
Really?
Yeah.
What are your hit points?
Like 12.
12. So you're down to six.
I love the fact that she's like, oh, I don't care that I can't tell shit. I can just beat the shit out of someone, and then this happens to you.
Yeah, all right, Henley. Henley's like bragging over here, the man that fell in the mud face first.
You got a little dirt on you.
So Henley and Julian, are you going to run up to Thrace laying on the ground here?
Yes.
Maybe.
Henley!
All right, yes.
So Julian and Henley run up. Julian, you with your perception, you notice where the traps, other traps are, and you're able to sort of navigate them to Thrace.
Give me a hand, guys.
And a one, two, three. Up she goes.
Thanks for that, Henley.
So Henley and Julian get you back on your feet. And what you're saying now, you're saying in this kind of patch of woods, you've got a live goblin. He's struggling. up, hanging upside down, but he's still conscious and he's still alive.
Henley, I think it's time to get some answers with some pinata.
Better up?
please cut that.
Better up.
Better up.
Okay.
No, he's about 10, 15, 20 feet in the air.
Oh, so we can't reach him. Now, can we cut the rope? Julian, do you have anything that could cut rope?
I can throw my dagger.
Let's try that first and hope Henley doesn't kill him.
Being Henley.
Henley suddenly realized what's coming.
I have an acid splash that might work. But
an acid splash is going to drip down and kill him too. Let's give Henley a shot at this. I'm all for second chances.
Are you sure?
I'm all for second chances. People need to be able to prove themselves. There's been times in the past where I wish I could prove myself, and I wish people would give me that chance. So, Henley, I'm going to give you that chance. Please don't kill the goblin.
It's like a telethon.
Bri, just roll a d20. We're going to do it as like a ranged attack. Basically, I've set like a difficulty in my head.
So just roll d20 at the end.
Just roll d20 at the end.
It's an 8.
An 8 does it. Yeah, absolutely. So you throw it. It cuts down. The goblin falls. He takes 1d6 damage.
Yes.
He takes 4 damage.
Wow.
And is not looking. He's prone. He's down. What do you guys want to do now?
Henley, good job, Henley.
Yes.
I think I heard him saying on the way down. I don't know what that means. How do you spell that?
Hey everybody, Bobby Shortle here, your Dungeon Master. And on behalf of Jackie, Bob, Brian, and Mara, just thank you so much. First of all, thank you so, so much. The response to the show has been amazing, and it's been really humbling to see the reviews. Thank you so much, by the way. People have written iTunes reviews, an amazing amount of iTunes reviews already for us. And if you haven't yet, please, please, if you can, just take a couple minutes and write us a review. It helps so much, both seeing that what we're putting out there is getting reacted to, but also just in the fact that more people will find the show if there's more reviews on iTunes. But
people saying that they've never played D&D before and this makes them want to play, people who have been lapsed, people didn't know that doing a D&D podcast was possible. You know, it's been really cool, and I really, really appreciate all the kind words and all the feedback that we've gotten. Either way, it's really, really cool. Big thanks again to Justin Riley, who does the sound effects for all these episodes. Please go check him out. Find him on Twitter. He's and thank him as well. He's just an amazing, amazing guy and really super talented. Thank you, of course, to all of my players who have been great. Wizards of the Coast for creating this or putting out 5th edition, which really I think has made it possible for us to play it in this way. So thank you to them as well. If you want a character named after you, we have a few spots kind of coming up in the next arc, and then even in this arc that can be named after you if you use the hashtag D&D Adventure. Also, in the next couple of weeks, I'm not exactly sure, we'll end up having a little bit of a shopping spree for our adventurers, so we can get some new gear and add some new cool little twists into the mix. If there's an item that you want in that maybe you want to create yourself, email us adventure@talkingcomicbooks.com with a description of what it does, and maybe we'll use that. Maybe it'll be part of the shopping list for people. Big thanks to BattleBards, who have provided some sound effects and music and soundscapes for the podcast. They're a great partner, and they're a great resource. If you're even just running your own games, not recording them, check them out because they're awesome. BattleBards.com. So we've been going weekly so far, and we're going to keep trying to do that as we go along, but it's really all going to depend on what we get out of each play session. Sometimes we're going to get stuck up on rules, and there's not going to be enough, I think, story to fill 2 episodes. If that happens, then we're going to have to do it bi-weekly. But for now, you have episode this week, episode next week, so we're still on that path. But just so you know, if that happens, I'll inform you in the episode before, because I'll know by then. But yeah, I think that's going to do it for my little commercial. Thank you so much again for listening. Please review us over on iTunes and follow us at D&D Adventure on Twitter. Let's get back to interrogating this goblin.
Hendley, would you like to talk to the goblin?
I think he's receptive to answering questions.
Yes, I think Hendley is the man to do it.
Do goblins speak common?
They do.
I'll ask the little bugger what's about.
Ask him nicely, Hendley, and if he doesn't answer you nicely, he can answer me.
Good cop, bad cop.
I don't know what a cop is, but all right.
Good half-elf rogue.
Oi, goblin! What you doing here?
I'm not telling you nothing, rogue.
Sounds fair.
Is that the best you can do?
It's not, but I want to see what you can do. He's got some preconceived notions. He called me a rogue. I don't like the name Colin, so why don't you got dragon in your class name, so why don't you just go up there?
Oh, Hendley, you need a thicker skin. Goblin, would you like to answer me and my warhammer?
Roll an intimidation check on this one.
Intimidation.
So you roll a d20 and you add your charisma modifier.
Oh, charisma, yeah. Not intimidation?
No. Well, intimidation is a charisma stat.
10 and 0.
It's all right. 10 is good. 10 is good.
Oh.
So you walk over and you kind of put your boot on his neck. And
yeah.
You press down a little bit.
Yes.
All right, I'll talk. I'll tell you what's going on. What do you want to know?
Who sent you?
The goblin sent me. I'm a part of a goblin gang.
And who was your target, goblin gang?
We were told to wait by the road. We were waiting for some travelers coming from Neverwinter.
Where's the map, goblin?
I don't know about it. I don't know about any map.
Ask about the 3 pillars of fire.
Goblin, what can you tell me about 3 pillars of fire?
Yeah, I heard him. He's just standing right there. I just not like... you're all standing around me. Come on.
You don't want me to ask the questions, goblin.
I'm much more scared of the big dragon lady than of you.
That's good. You should be very scared of the
dragon
lady.
Tell me about
the
3 pillars, funny goblin.
I'll do it if I were you.
All right. It's a new thing. I don't. We never used it before. A few weeks ago, the boss, he came down and he gave us all these coins, and he told us that from now on, We go where the coins tell us to go. He created a path back to our hideout using the coins, so we could find it wherever we were. You know, we were supposed to listen if we were encountered by anyone who had a coin or was bearing that signal. We had to listen to what they told us. I don't know what happened. It was just all of a sudden it was a shakeup in the organization.
You said boss goblin. Who's your boss?
Yeah.
Well,
tell us.
My boss. His name is Clarg.
Clarg.
Yes.
Is that two A's or three?
It's one A.
Is he a goblin like you? Goblin.
Roll another intimidation check.
20. Tell me everything, goblin.
No, he's not a goblin. He's a bugbear.
A bugbear. Does anybody know what a bugbear is? Hendley, Julian?
No. I don't.
Well, you guys can roll what they call a history check. I'll be able to tell you.
I got an 18.
I got 20.
16 plus 5.
I have a 20 plus 1.
I wasn't expecting this so early, so let me...
Clarg, tell us or die.
So, bugbears. So you guys can see the picture. That's what a bugbear looks like right there.
Oh, he's mean.
That's not like a bugbear.
What did you roll, Henley? Okay, so you all know...
He's threatening.
Bugbears, I'll explain it more for the audience at home, obviously, but... Bugbears are born for battle and mayhem, surviving by raiding and hunting. They bully the weak and despise being bossed around, but their love of carnage means they will fight for powerful masters if bloodshed and treasure are assured. Bugbears are often found in the company of their cousins, hobgoblins or goblins.
Okay, so this is like a boss of the goblins, basically.
Bugbears usually enslave goblins they encounter. And what they are is they're these big sort of, they're humanoid in figure, but they're big, hairy, pointy-eared creatures, yeah. Hulking, yes. Very, very big. Imagine like a bear-sized creature, but more lithe, more built like a human, but the size of a bear.
Right.
Yeah, he's a bugbear. He came in a while ago and he took over the gang. Some of us weren't psyched about that. We kind of like being our own boss, you know.
Psych.
What happened when you tried to be your own boss, Goblin?
Well, you make your own hours. It's better.
Exactly. You have a work you have to do. You get it done during the week. Who cares what hours you come in? Hours are what you like to do. Live our
Fridays off.
Live our lives. If we get your work done before Friday, you get Friday off. That's how it goes.
You get dental.
We used to. Not anymore. Clarg,
health savings account.
We were doing fine, and then Clarg came in, and he's big, intimidating guy, and he took over, and now he's the leader, and things were doing pretty well, and we were still keeping sort of our same routine, and then a few weeks ago, after he took over, something changed. It was like somebody was telling Clarg what to do all of a sudden.
Do you know who Clarg's boss is?
I don't know that.
Where can we find Clarg?
Well, he's back in our hideout,
which is. You got to follow the coin. In fact, I heard. You hear what this little bloke said? He said, "Anyone who possesses the coin, he's got to do whatever we say. If you got a coin,
do we have a coin, Hendley?
Julian found that bag of gold. I want some of that. By the way, remember,
Hendley, then, you have a one-track mind, and it's not even the fun thing.
Oh, you mean like the it?
Yes, Hendley, it.
She's got a point." That other coin with the three pillar.
Julian, you still have that?
Possibly.
All I'm saying is that you get him to do whatever you want if you got that coin.
Guys, I mean, I know you're not like my boss or something. You guys have been...
We're your boss now.
You've kind of proven to me very, very well.
I will wave this coin in your face or you will die.
I was seeing like, well, that's harsh.
Yes, it is. I've had enough.
I think I've been very cooperative with you guys. I've told you.
I don't care.
I told you stuff you weren't supposed to find out until after you guys were going on. You guys know a lot more than you were supposed to.
I can't believe I'm saying this. I'm on the goblin side here. I don't want to...
Thanks. Well, go shut up.
Yes. I'll answer any more questions you have.
Yes, go.
But please, just let me go. I'll run away. You guys will never see me again. I swear on the goblin god.
And that is who?
Goblinagus. Prove me wrong.
I know. He's right. He's right, friends. He's completely right.
What do we think, guys?
I think he's lying.
I can tell you that he's not lying because she intimidated me into telling the truth.
Yes.
If she had failed her intimidation checks, yes. I could have lied. But right. The point of the roles is that yes. I'm not lying.
So yes. Do we want to find this hideout and find this bugbear, find out who he's working for?
Let's crush the bugbear. Let's
not get carried away.
It's a big fucker.
Not bigger than Thrace.
Listen, first things first. What do we do with this goblin? Can we step away 2 feet and have like a whispery conversation in a huddle?
Yes, you can.
Huddle up, guys. Huddle up.
All right, guys. Go ahead and talk. I'm a little nervous about this conversation you're having. Okay. This seems like a are we gonna kill him or are we not gonna kill him type of conversation you're having.
All right, guys. Huddle up. Are we gonna kill him or are we not gonna kill him?
Kill him.
Yeah, don't kill him.
I like to crush things, but only when it's sporting. I say we let him run. And if we see him again, I will crush him.
I do think, though, we're letting him off really easy. Won't we make him do something like he's got to always, when he's running away, singing song?
Like a little Pirates of Penzance?
What I'm saying is, do we make him take us to the hideout? I think I'm Australian now. I don't know.
That happened a couple times the last time, because when you said the follow the path of the light, you definitely went, follow the path of the light.
Steve. Hendley, I am almost at a loss for words at the fact that you might have had a really good idea.
That was a really good idea.
I kind of like the idea, because what if we need to a password, or we need something to hide behind on the way?
Goblins are always good for that.
Goblin shield.
Yeah.
Can we trust him, though?
Don't need to, goblin. I guess we'll
shield.
Look it over.
I did swear to God. Oh, sorry. I can't hear you. I'm sorry.
You're a goblin. You might have very big ears.
Okay.
I do have very big ears.
Let's let's go back to this goblin and see what his reaction is.
Yeah. I think so.
Okay, so we're going to come back to the goblin.
What's up, guys? Are you going to kill me?
Goblin?
We might.
We have something of a deal for you, goblin.
Okay.
You lead us to your hideout, and we will not crush your skull with my warhammer.
Well, I know you can do that, because I saw you do it to Frank, so I don't...
It can happen again any second.
Did your wife take a casserole around to Frank's wife?
I'm not married. Thanks for rubbing it in.
Sure.
Trust us to meet a bitter goblin.
He would have brought a tuna casserole, but he didn't.
Yep.
I can do that for you. I promised you that I would do anything else you wanted if you let me go. So if you let me go when we get there, I will do that.
We promise.
That's where we're going.
I really don't trust the old guy.
Goblin, all you need is my word.
I like the half elf, though. He seems like a nice guy.
Well, goblin, you...
Goblin, what's your name?
My name is Stuart.
Is that with a U? Or EW.
Are you? Thank you for asking. Not many people ask. I appreciate that.
All right, Goblin Stuart. What are you? Let's proceed towards your hideout.
Yes.
I would have sworn he was a tutor.
Let's go there.
Lead the way.
So the goblin leads you through, and you get about 10 minutes more down the trail. Again, lights are still popping up as you go every single time. And as you get about 10 minutes on the road, he goes, whoa, wait a second, guys. This is one of our best traps right here. Walk around in about an hour.
I'm sorry. I'm playing out what's going to happen here.
In about a...
Could you help us?
Just, I turn, like, turn to your right and walk about... We'll walk about 6 feet over here, and then we'll go to keep going back up. So Yolanda leads the way, and as he leads the way, he picks up a boulder, and he throws it at the spot where you're going to walk, and it falls, and a giant pit reveals itself as it hits the ground.
Okay.
See, that would have hurt a little bit, guys, right? And I could have just been like, oh, guys, wait a second, I got to tie my shoe, and then you guys would have walked in there, it would be fine. So, yeah, just put that in the points for old Stewie, all right?
Well, hey, Stuart, we're going to throw you some of Henley's jerky.
You don't know. Does Henley have jerky?
Henley's got jerky.
I believe in canon. You don't know that he has jerky.
Yes, we don't know he has jerky.
All right. Can I roll something to eat? No, to eat all the fucking jerky right now, so nobody else can have it.
So you can eat all the jerky you want, just fine, Henley. Are you trying to hide it from everybody else, or are you going to do it like just snap it in their face, like fuck you, I got this jerky?
Definitely the latter.
I'm full.
So Henley just takes out this big thing of beef jerky and goes right up into Thrace's face and just chomps on it.
Can
and
I
just
punch
stares you down.
Henley in the face?
Yes, you should. He should learn.
Yeah.
Honestly,
Henley is pushing me at this point.
Yeah, you can if you want to hurt the member of your party.
I think it's worth it.
Is there a humiliation roll?
I mean, you can like pull down his pants or something if you want.
I've done searches on that too.
How about you pull down his pants? I'll hit him with the ray of frost, which would cause shrinkage.
I love that idea, by the way.
I am going to pull down Handley's pants.
And I'll hit him with a ray of frost.
And Julian is going to give him a hypothetical spanking.
All right, so you're going to try to pull down his pants?
Yes, I am.
Okay, you got to make, let's make it, I guess, a strength contest, I guess. Well, it should be her strength versus your dexterity, because you're going to try to move out of the way of her trying to pull down your pants. This is what D&D was made for. You got to roll a d20 and add your strength modifier, and Brian, you roll a d20 and add your dexterity modifier.
A 12 plus 3 is 15.
Oh, God.
You got a 4. Thrace pulls down your pants, revealing your heart-laced underoos. And Julian's going to hit you with the Ray of Frost.
Ray of Frost, which is my regular attacks and spell casting. So which?
Yeah, so roll it. I think it's a ranged spell attack, so roll a d20. I don't remember if it's a dexterity saving throw or a...
Can I jump in and convince Bob to not do this with a charisma check?
You can certainly try. Roll a charisma check.
Right.
And Bob has to roll a perception check.
Which is?
D20 again. Just roll it.
And it's a 9.
And add your perception modifier.
Is that a 9?
That's a 6.
Ooh.
Plus your perception.
Which is, I'm looking for it, plus 2.
Plus 2. So 8 to 9. Henley, go ahead and convince him. Give me your speech.
Julian, I know this looks like a good idea right now. And if I were in your shoes, I'd be laughing my knickers off. But I'd really prefer to keep my knickers on.
What Henley's about to do is he's about to show Julian his little peen, and hoping that embarrassment will just be enough to stave off
being frozen.
Does he need to roll an animal handling check?
Thrace, as an aside, do we need to humiliate him to keep him in line? What do you think?
He charmed you. Yeah, he charmed you. You can't do it.
But. You lost that contest, Bob. You can't do it. That's the rules of the games right there.
Yeah.
All right, moving on from my dick.
I'm just imagining him frolicking through the fields with his pants around his ankles, trying to convince Bob not to smack him on the ass.
And the goblin's watching all of this.
Yes. Well, you guys are a really weird set of adventurers, I gotta tell you. This is just... I've never seen anything like this before. This is pretty cool.
Just wait.
Henley pulls his pants back up. You do your funny little joke, and then you walk past this pit, and then you come to a stream on the left bank of this stream. And this is pretty open, but you can see as you get closer that the stream starts to go into what looks like a cave of some kind.
Okay.
So the stream leads into the cave, and then to your right, there's like a dense thicket that is kind of looped around there. Before you can sort of get close to that, you're still about up, you know, probably you can see it, but you're probably like 70 feet away from it. Stewie puts his hand up.
Stewie? Yeah. He's Stewie now.
He's now Stewie.
And he leans in and he goes, guys, that's, you see that dense thicket over there? Two of my guys are hiding behind there. They're guards. If they see you, they're going to call for reinforcements, and it's going to be trouble for you guys.
Okay.
Okay, but see, if you can get around them, mm-hmm. You can go right through that stream, and if you go through that stream, right into the cave, then you have to hide out right there.
Okay.
You have to hide out.
Quick conference.
We need to take these guards out.
If we move up a little bit, I can throw some acid at them. Maybe we can get past them.
Henley, you think you could sneak behind them, or should we just, should we use
Hit
Julian?
Them from afar.
Worked once, I'll work again. Oh, wait, I fell. Right.
We have faith in you. Are you up for this?
The problem we have to think about is we need to attack them both at once. Because if we attack one of them and the other one runs away, he's going to get the reinforcements before we can chase him down. I think it's going to be better to have Julian cast something that, I mean, if he can immobilize them, if he can just knock them down or just get both of them at once, that's what we need to do.
Well, but Stewie just said it would be advantageous. That's a big word. I've used a big word. to walk around them. Well, can I walk around?
Can you take them both out at once?
I'm going to walk around them.
If I can put my two cents in, guys, just about with the whole situation
yes,
here.
Yes,
So you can't see them from here. We made sure we built the guard post behind these thickets here because you can't see them. I will tell you though that it's Frank and Julie, and they're a little bit lazy.
Is Frank a very common name for goblins?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's why do you even ask that question? I don't. Have you never met a goblin before? I don't understand. It's,
yes,
you,
one called Frank, and I destroyed him.
Yeah, there's a bunch of Franks. They're hiding over there. They're kind of lazy. We kind of get them a lot. They don't pay a lot of good attention to what's going on. So, as long as you guys aren't real loud, and you aren't, you know, you aren't trying to cut down the bushes, or you aren't like into setting off spells at the bushes, they probably won't notice you as long as you're not doing stuff like that. So there won't be that hard to get around. And if you want to take them out, you can take them out. I mean, from my opinion, the less goblins you have to take out, the better. If you guys let me go.
Let's be sneaky.
The goblin does make a good point.
Yeah, let's be sneaky.
We should sneak around. Let's try not to kill these ones. Because we almost got taken out by three.
You talk to a goblin for like 4 seconds. It tells you to go around. You go around. I'll give you my opinion. You say, sod off.
Your track record isn't great, Henley. I must say.
This goblin has already been more useful than you have the entire way.
I cannot deny that.
All right, guys, I led you to the hideout. Can I go?
Not yet. Not yet.
Once we're inside, you can get
exactly it. Right, Henley. Yeah. See? You proved useful.
You say some mean things.
I said thanks.
I don't know. I'll believe you.
All right, guys. It's taken a really long time for us to get here. So let's move this thing along maybe a little bit.
I want Henley to stealth his way around.
Can we all stealth our way around?
Yeah.
I am not very stealthy.
I can tell you that to get up to where these goblins are, you don't have to stealth yet.
Okay. So let's get there.
So you guys are going to walk up. So on the east side of the stream, flowing from the cave mouth, a small area in the briar thickets has been all howled out to form a lookout post or blind. Okay. Wooden planks flatten out the briars and provide rooms for guards to lie hidden and watch the area, including a pair of goblins lurking there right now, the aforementioned Frank and Julie. So you guys have sort of creeped up close enough where you can see them. You can go at them, or you can sort of try
to... Do they see us?
They don't see you yet. So you can try to stealth past them into the cave and into the hideout, or you can try to take them out before you go into the hideout.
We're not the most stealthy crew ever.
Right, but I can do, guys. I can be our lookout. I'll give you the good old 1-2. Go ahead. You go past, and I'll make sure that the coast is clear, and then I'll follow you behind.
Henley, the problem with this is me and Julian are not very stealthy, me especially.
Yeah.
And also...
I'll be looking out for you
The other problem with this is we can stealth into that cave and we can sneak into that cave. What if everything goes wrong? We're running out of that cave into two goblins. Wouldn't it be safer just to make sure that our exit is clear as well as our entry?
I've got a soft spot for Stuart, so I don't want to continue to murder his mates, you know.
We're not going to kill Stewie.
We're killing
Stewie's
the others. Stewie's
fine. We would like to try and take out the other two.
I think it's magic missile time.
Yes. I think it's Warhammer in the face time.
But when this goes belly up, it ain't on me.
Well...
Oh, yes, it is. We're going to throw you right into
and
the
Henley,
mix.
And Henley,
me.
I don't think it's belly up. I think you were belly down last time.
In the mud.
You're not wrong.
So we're going to attack these goblins.
You're going to attack them.
Yes, yeah. We are.
All right, so who's going to attack first?
Me.
You're still about 10 feet away from them. You have like a range of 5 feet. So you're going to have to charge up at them.
This is what I will do.
So I'm going to give you advantage on this roll because you're surprising them.
Okay.
So that means you get to roll 2d20s and take the higher score on your attack.
Okay. A 13.
Okay.
And a 5. Ooh, I'll take the 13.
So the 13, see where it says Warhammer? See the number next to it says plus 5?
Yeah.
So whenever you roll d20 from now on when you're attacking with Warhammer,
oh,
just so
okay,
you know.
All right.
I know you add that 5
so
to that number.
So 18.
18. So that's a hit. Go ahead and you roll what?
1d8 plus 3.
Roll d8.
3.
Plus
3. 6.
Well, you're running up. You're... Arr! The goblin turns around. What? And then you take that Warhammer and you just smash. Turns out to be Frank. Right? You don't like Franks. Right in the face, spins around and kind of slams into the side of this sort of thicket fort they have set up.
Yes.
Very bloodied, but is not dead. I will give one more of you because Thrace decided to run up and attack. If you guys had gone long range first, I would have given you all advantage. I will give one more of you advantage to hit.
So which one has a more powerful attack out of you two?
It depends on what the attack's going to be.
Yes.
Henley's daggers are pretty strong because he's got two of them.
probably let's send in Hendley and Bob. You have
hang back from
Julian. Cover our backs.
Yeah, let's do that.
Yes,
that is proper strategy.
Hendley.
All right, I'll do it.
All right, so you're gonna run up, and you're gonna roll advantage. You have to roll two d20s.
And are you gonna go after the other one, or are we gonna try and finish off one of them?
That's a great question. I want to go for fresh meat. I'd rather deal with two very incapacitated folks.
But when you say incapacitated, how incapacitated are they with their attack rolls? Does it make any difference?
No, exactly. They're not. So that's unless they're prone on the ground or something, or trapped under something, or something like that.
So this is a problem. If we don't finish off that first one, there's going to be two attacks against us. I'd say, try and finish off that first guy, and we'll deal with the fresh guy.
All right, Frank, I'm sorry about this. I'm going to try to send you Goblinigus.
All right.
First D20 was a 3. Second D20 was a 2.
Oh, my God.
Even with your attack modifier, that ain't going to do it. So Henley charges up, hits the stream, and then his feet are kind of slick when he hits the stream. So when he hits the planks on the ground, he slips and just kind of slides past the goblins. He sort of bumps into Frank and Jules and kind of ends up behind them on the other side. And we're going to have to now roll initiative
to figure this out. Henley.
Oh, Henley. You beat
so everybody roll
too.
D20.
Everybody?
Yes, because we got to figure out the order of battle now.
Now it's a goddamn 18.
D20.
That's good, though. You get to go.
I know, but I could have used that a few moments ago.
Oh, 8. We both got 8s.
8.
You both got 8s. What's your... you add your dex modifier to it, so it's the plus...
So I've got 20, then.
So
plus 1.
See your armor class, Jack, where it says 18? Next to it.
Oh, plus 1.
Yeah.
Oh.
No, next over here I'm talking about.
Oh, plus 1.
And where it says
plus 1.
So you both have 9?
Yeah.
Okay. Henley, you have 20, Henley? Well, the goblins did not roll well, so you don't have to worry about that. Julian, goblins. Okay, so you get a second chance, Hend. You have another attack.
Team.
You are behind the two goblins. So basically, you did this really kind of Looney Tunes thing where you kind of slipped and flew by them, but you immediately turned around and were like, okay, now I'm going back at this. So you have another chance. You're prone to strike again.
So I'm doing a d20 and adding my attack bonus?
Yes.
Look at this. Look at the goddamn computer. It's a 1.
Oh, my God.
That's a critical miss.
It's a 1.
That's very familiar.
I've rolled a 3, a 2, and a 1.
That is a complete and utter miss.
Are you rolling the dice that just has a 3, a 2, and a 1 on it?
He's rolling a d4, actually. D3. That's actually what he's rolling.
WD4.
So Henley, once again, he kind of stabs at them limply and just misses. And he kind of slices the bushes next to him and spins around like in a helicopter motion. He's sort of dizzy as he stands there. And next in the order is Thrace.
I am attacking Frank.
Okay.
Since we're just going to name our monsters,
yes.
I am attacking Frank.
Okay.
That's Frank, everybody. That's you're hitting really, you're really giving Frank the 1-2, the 1-4.
Okay. 13 plus 5, 18.
That is a hit. Roll your attack.
7 plus 3, 10.
Oh, man. Okay.
Pulverized.
You bring the hammer down straight on Frank's head, and Frank just dies instantly. Just instantly.
Goodbye, Frank.
One of his ears just kind of flies off. He's just bleeding from the side of his head, and he sort of lands on the ground, and his eyes are sort of staring up at you blankly.
Oh, and he's gone to meet St. Peter at the Goblinicus Gates.
Goblinicus.
Peter! Oh, you gone to meet St. Peter. I'm so sorry, Frank. I'm so sorry.
And next in the order is Julian.
How many creatures do we have left?
1.
But he is, thanks to Hendley, alive and kicking.
How alive and kicking is this fella?
This one is full health. We haven't attacked Julie yet.
Oh. Acid Splash.
Sounds like a really terrible band.
I can hurl a bubble of acid. You hurl a bubble of acid, choose one creature within range or two within, blah, blah, blah. A target must succeed on a dexterity saving throw or take 1d6 acid damage.
So okay. I have to roll a dexterity saving throw. So I have to roll a d20. On something like this, it's 8. The base number is 8, and then you add whatever modifier goes with this. So his spellcasting modifier, which is plus 5, because he's proficient in what he's doing, plus he has the spellcasting bonus. So I do that, and I add my dex modifier. So she has a plus 2 in dex. So I have to be a 13 in with its dex roll.
Okay.
Critical.
Oh.
Uh-oh.
So Julie sees it coming and just sort of like...
Matrixes.
Right past her head. And actually, Henley, I need you to make a dexterity saving throw so that this acid splash doesn't hit you.
Wow.
I'm going analog with the dice right here.
Because Julian was just willy-nilly with these acid spells. You guys are all in like a one-foot radius together, his friends and the goblin. And Julian just hurled
it. What am I throwing?
A d20.
It's a two.
All right, so you get hit with this acid in the face. Julian, roll your... what is it you have to roll for attack?
1d6.
1d6 damage.
Wait. Can I re-roll? No, because I rolled a d12.
Then yes.
It's a three.
He is the worst. How are you so bad at rolling a dice?
Four.
I mean, Henley's almost... That's a lot of Henley's health.
What do I take away from my hit points?
You take four away from your hit points.
Man. I don't have that many. Right, I only have three hit points.
All right, so Henley's knocked out.
Come on!
It's a general theme.
He's useless anyway.
Of really all of is. This. And next in the order is... I felt it was your fault, Julian.
No.
Willy-nilly throwing your acid around.
The goblin is next in the order.
Those acme acid.
He's going to go after Thrace because it's the only person close. Takes out her scimitar, and she rolls 14 plus 0, so 14 against your armor class.
Oh, 18.
Just like the other goblins, kind of swings and kind of clangs up your armor, kind of falls down.
Of course.
Oh, damn it!
Odds bodkins.
That sucks. And then next in the order is... Oh, Henley, make a death saving throw. Roll a d20.
Going back to the computer.
Can't be worse.
18.
All right, so success.
Where was that a second ago?
You have one success going there.
Okay.
Next in the order is Thrace.
Okay, so Warhammer once more. 18 plus 5, 23.
That is a hit. Roll your d8. Add your attack modifier.
4 plus my attack modifier. I keep forgetting which one. This one? No. Oh, plus 3. 7.
So 7 points of damage. She takes a really whomping hit right into Julie's chest. She sort of staggers back, looks very bloody, and then prepares herself again for battle. And next in the order is Julian.
Julian, don't hit me, please.
Ray of Frost.
Okay, he loves Ray of Frost.
I love Ray of Frost.
So what does it say there?
A frigid beam of blue-white-white streaks toward a creature within range. Range 60 feet.
Okay, yes.
You better duck. You better duck.
He's safe. He's safe. Don't worry.
On a hit, it takes 1d8 cold damage.
Okay, so it's a range spell.
Yes.
Range spell. So just roll a d20.
D.
You have to be my armor class.
Can I use your stadium?
It's a 12.
12 plus your dex your spellcasting modifier, which is 5, I think.
5, yes.
So 17, that's a hit. And roll your damage die. I don't remember which one it was.
1d8.
1d8. Roll that up.
That's got a 9 on it. 6.
6 plus... not plus nothing. There's nothing on a spell. No. 6. So you send out this... You stick your hand out, and the energy seems to sort of fester in your hand. It turns blue, it glows blue, and then this huge shock of blue light comes out, hits Julie right in the head, and she falls over, frozen, stone cold dead.
Yes!
Good job, Julian.
And you're out of combat.
Woof!
Both goblins are dead, and somehow the rest of the goblins in the hideout did not hear anything. Hey, guys!
Get out of the mud.
Stewie here. Can I go now?
As long as you run the other direction.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That was the part of the plan. If I ran in there, you guys would think I would tell my friends. That'd be kind of stupid. And I'm not a very good liar, if you guys can tell. So I couldn't go in there and just like, no, there's nobody coming to kill you right now. Frank and Julie, they're fine.
I think he had his opportunity to try and take us down as we were fighting, and he didn't. So I think we can let him go.
And I could have run away when you were fighting,
exactly.
Too, but I didn't. I waited.
Everyone deserves a second chance.
All right, thank
and
you.
We have his social security number.
yeah, absolutely. So I know, never see you again, but, you know, if you're going to be in, like, Goblinville, just let me know, and I'll stay in my house, okay?
We'll buy you a pint.
All right, bye, guys, bye. Oh, also, it's really hard to see anybody out there, and Frank and Julie's shift wasn't supposed to be over for about 4 hours. So if you guys need to hang out, maybe take a rest... That would be a good place to do it in there.
Thank you, Stewie.
You're welcome. Bye, guys.
Bye, Stewie.
I'm liking Stewie more and more.
But I still have 0 hit points.
You have 0 hit points. So what we're going to do now, I think it's time to you guys take a rest. What we call a long rest. I think it's very overdue to take this long rest.
Swordfish is the password.